जय राधमा भव कुंज बिहारे,
The following is a lecture by His Holiness Gopal Krishna Goswami Maharaj on Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 12, Chapter 12, Verse Number 13, delivered on 10th of July 2016 in Vancouver, Canada.
Gopi Jana Bala Bhala Dhari भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्णा।
Describing the transcendental qualifications of a pure devotee in these two verses. A pure devotee is never disturbed in any circumstances, nor is he envious of anyone, nor does a devotee become his enemy's enemy. He thinks, quote, this person is acting as my enemy due to my own past misdeeds. So it is better to suffer than to protest. Unquote. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 14, Text 8, it is stated, Tatte Kampam Susamipshamano Munjana Ivashakritam Vipakam. Whenever a devotee is in distress or has fallen into difficulty, he thinks that it is the Lord's mercy upon him. He thinks, quote, thanks to my past misdeeds, I should suffer far, far greater than I am suffering now. So it is by mercy of the Supreme Lord that I am not getting all the punishment I am due. I am just getting a little by the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Unquote. Therefore, he is always calm, quiet, and patient, despite many distressful conditions. A devotee is always kind to everyone, even to his enemy. Nirmama means that a devotee does not attach much importance to the pains and trouble pertaining to the body, because he knows perfectly well that he is not the material body. He does not identify with the body. Therefore, he is free from the conception of false ego and is equipoised in happiness and distress. He is tolerant and he is satisfied with whatever comes by the grace of the Supreme Lord. He does not endeavor much to achieve something with great difficulty. Therefore, he is always joyful. He is a completely perfect mystic because he is fixed in the instructions received from the spiritual master, and because his senses are controlled, he is determined. He is not swayed by false arguments, because no one can lead him from the fixed determination of devotional service. He is fully conscious that Krishna is the eternal Lord, so no one can disturb him. All these qualifications enable him to fix his mind and intelligence entirely on the Supreme Lord. Such a standard of devotional service is undoubtedly very rare. But a devotee becomes situated in that stage by following the regular principles of devotional service. Furthermore, the Lord says that such a devotee is very dear to him, for the Lord is always pleased with all his activities in full Krishna consciousness. Thus in the Bhagavad-gita 4, chapter 12, devotional service, text 13 and 14, the Bhagavad-gita as it is by Srila Prabhupada.
Tasmai Sri Guru Namah. Krishna Chaitanya,
Prabhu Nityananda,
Sri Advaita,
Sri Vasudeva Bhaktavinoda,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Srila Prabhupada encouraged us to read the Bhagavad Gita every day. Once in Bombay, Prabhupada remarked, I read my own translation every day. Why should everyone else read it too? Or maybe you read the Bhagavad Gita every day. Okay. Bhagavad Gita gives us the essence of the Vedic tradition. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, you read that Lord Chaitanya was in southern India. He came to a temple in Sri Rangam. Sri Rangam is a very prominent temple and considered to be one of the biggest temples. Lord Chaitanya saw over there that before an uneducated Brahmin with a small crowd around him, the tears were from his eyes, and this individual was holding the Bhagavad Gita. Lord Chaitanya inquired from this individual, "O Brahmin, what made you shed these tears?" The Brahmin said, "My spiritual master told me to read the Bhagavad Gita every day. Now I'm uneducated, so I try to read it. Some words that pronounce correctly, and some I pronounce wrong. And I don't even understand the meaning of these verses. But because I was ordered to do so, I read the Gita every day." And in this village, I'm known as an uneducated man. So people are laughing at me because they see Arjuna was feeling very sad. Christ's day to comprehend the relationship between the Lord and Arjuna, or the Lord and the Gopi, is almost inconceivable. So Arjuna was recalling all the incidents in which he and his brother were saved due to the Lord's mercy. Just like one time, their house was set on fire and they escaped to an underground tunnel because of the timely advice given by
Midura.
And also how Arjuna was able to penetrate the eye of the fish when it was the time to suck it. Arjuna was recalling all the incidents to describe in the Bhagavad. He was being sad. The Lord is violent, not telling me. Then Arjuna began to meditate on Krishna's instructions from Bhagavad Gita, what Krishna said. And when he began to meditate on Krishna's instructions from the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna felt that Krishna was right there. The Krishna just like the holy name is not approved of the Lord. The instructions of Krishna also not approved of the Lord. So Arjuna began to meditate on Krishna's instructions of the Lord. And the Krishna was right there. So Prabhupada in the Gurukul says, just like Arjuna was meditating on Krishna's instruction, and he felt the presence of the Lord. Similarly, if every devotee of this Krishna conscious movement also meditates on the shloka of the Bhagavad Gita, he will also feel the presence of the Lord. So when we read the Bhagavad Gita, I know that there are many devotees in this world. They write in the verse in the morning, and all day they meditate on the verse. So if we meditate on the verses of the Bhagavad Gita, then we also feel Krishna's presence. The Bhagavad Gita is meant to enlighten us, Prabhupada used to say. Bhagavad Gita is not a sectarian book. It is not a religious book, Prabhupada wrote. Prabhupada said, it's a book of knowledge. It's a book of knowledge meant for entire humanity. You'd be pleased to know the Bhagavad Gita has been translated in nearly 80 languages of the world. And virtually, in every language, people are reading the Bhagavad Gita. The Bhagavad Gita establishes who is the Supreme Lord. The Bhagavad Gita leaves us in no doubt who is the Supreme Lord. And the Bhagavad Gita establishes who Krishna is the Supreme Lord. And I just go on to say that this is confirmed by everyone. Nanda Vyasa, all this Kevala, all this Kevala, confirmed that Krishna is the Supreme Lord. Then the Bhagavad Gita explains the position of the living entity. Prabhakirana Thakur, Viracharya, was considered to be the worship founder of the Krishna conscious movement. He said, this second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita is the most important of all the chapters. Why? Second chapter gives the information on the difference between what? It's the body and the soul. The Jaya Devaka explains how the soul is there, what is not there. When we go to Samsung, no time destroyed everything. And until nature works in the direction of the Lord. And then it discusses the issue of karma. It tells us how, for every action is a reaction, and how we indeed have the freedom to choose how we want to act, according to the teaching of the Lord. And the conclusion of the Bhagavad Gita in the 80th chapter, where Krishna says, which is a famous verse, Saravatan Bhagavad. In this chapter on devotional service, Krishna is telling us how to become dear to him. And if you want to become dear to the Lord, we obviously have to make some effort. Nothing is attainable, even in mature society, without making an effort. So what does Krishna say? A devotee is not envious, but is a kind friend to all living entities. Envy is one of our anatta. That means that it is not necessary. And because of envy, we try to criticize each other. And how do you overcome envy? Now the Holy says, you overcome envy with knowledge. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, you read a story. The Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will be traveling. He will be invited by different devotees. Oh, Prasad. Who will invite him? Please come out, Prasad, in the heart of 6 days. The Mahaprabhu will thank you for 2 days. So, Mahaprabhu was requested to eat Prasad in the house of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who at one time was a staunch emperor smith, but by Mahaprabhu's potency, got converted to the path of personhood with a prominent scholar in Jagannath Puri. So Mahaprabhu was invited to eat this house. His wife was an amazing cook. She could cook 80 items in 1 hour without the help of a microwave. So they had a huge feast for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. For Chaitanya Mahaprabhu being a renowned sannyasi of the highest order would only eat a little bit. That's the normal pattern. You cook a huge feast for a sannyasi. That's what that takes. A little bit of everything. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very final sannyasi. Mahaprabhu said, a black dot on a white sheet can be seen from a distance also. So he gave an example to show that a sannyasi's character is not flawless. People will fall fine and thereby ridicule him. So, Mahaprabhu would take good into it. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya had a son-in-law called Bhoga, who was very envious of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's wife would be engaged in serving the Lord, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya would stand with a stick to make sure that Amoga would not come in. But he knew that he was envious of the Lord. And Amoga would paste his ears against the wall of the room where Mahaprabhu was staying. Just to see Mahaprabhu had done something wrong. They can broadcast it to the world. One day, Mahaprabhu would be served. His wife had to go. Sarvamanacharya had to go to help his wife. So whoever got a chance to come in and see what was being offered to the Lord. So all the many items in front of you in the Mahaprabhu, very satisfying. Look at the sannyasi. He pretends to be renounced. We eat more often in the household. Then Sarvamanacharya wished we chased him and drove him away. Little later, this individual Amoga got infected by cholera. Severe cholera. Sarvamanacharya had a relative. His brother-in-law's name was Gopinathacharya. Gopinathacharya all along knew the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was none else the Supreme Lord. So Mahaprabhu inquired from Gopinath, how is the Moga? And Gopinathacharya, he's about to die. He's on his deathbed. So Mahaprabhu went to see him. He placed his hand on the chest of Amoga and said, as long as the enemy is there in the heart, the Lord will not decide. And as a result, Amoga got so transformed, got up from his bed, he fell at the feet of the Lord, begged forgiveness, and became a great boy. The point we were trying to make is to remember Mahaprabhu's statement. As long as, what is in the heart?
Envy.
As long as envy is in the heart, who will not recite?
Krishna.
Do you like to recite in a filthy place? Would you like to eat next to a garbage can? So the Lord also doesn't like to recite in a contaminated heart. So, how do you overcome envy? Not only explain, you overcome envy with knowledge. Knowledge that we all have different abilities that we derive due to various reasons during karma. So we should just be content. Envy doesn't help you, it just destroys you. So Krishna is saying, don't be envious, but be a friend to all living entities. In the Bhagavad Gita third canto, Kapila Deva describes the qualities of a sadhu. He says, what are the qualities of seeing people? When you use the word sadhu, it doesn't mean just somebody who is in a renowned sort of life. It means male or female. Any ashram, maybe Vyasa or Brahmachari, but somebody who is pursuing spiritual life, someone who is pursuing a saintly life. So the Lord Kapila is saying, Suda Sarva Deva, friend of all the living.
Thank you for listening to this wireless Krishna Goswami Maharaj.
He's ready to everyone.
Please visit ckgoswami.com.
There was a Prabhupada that sold it by somebody. He still was friendly. He was still blessed at the original. So a devotee makes no enemies. Even if somebody criticizes him, he still has enemy. He still is friend. And the Chaitanya Chandramita gave the story of Ramchandra Puri. Ramchandra Puri was a fault finder. He would take delight in criticizing devotees, especially sannyasis. When sannyasis would come to Jagannath Puri, he would take, make way, Mahaprasad to them. And they would say, oh, that's a show of non-sannyasis. Look at his admirable pronunciation. They're very suffering, but their voice is not good. So one day he came to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's house. Mahaprabhu was in a room, and the floor was wooden, and it was extremely hot. So when it's hot, you know, the ants are normally live underground, come overground. So he saw ants crawling in Mahaprabhu's room. So he said, looks like our sannyasi is eating a lot of sweets. He's not eating any sweets. Looks like our sannyasi is eating a lot of sweets. That's why you see all the ants here. Mahaprabhu took the criticism so severely. He reduces the eight to a fraction of what he was eating. But even the Radha Puri would criticize Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, on his part, did not stop offering everyone's respect. Why? Because Radha Puri was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's spiritual uncle. He was a guru, Ishwara Puri, God brother, and a disciple of Radha Puri. So even though Ramana Puri was criticizing the Lord was still very respectful to Ramana. He would offer none of us first, but he was a spiritual man. So to begin with, this example to show that an exalted devotee really be criticized. He doesn't retaliate. You feel like what they say. Tip for tat. Tooth for a tooth. But if you don't respect me, I'm not going to respect you. You shout at me, I'm going to shout at you. But that's not even telling me. I'll let you have it. But what we explain here is the devotee is not admit. There is a kind friend of all the humanity. He who does not think, himself a proprietor, and is free from fault in you. The devotee's understanding is, as Prabhupada often quoted, Bhoktaram Yagatabhasam, Saralokam, Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. Prabhupada said, you can be Krishna conscious very easily if you understand and accept Krishna as a provider, Krishna as an enjoyer, and all you need is to serve Krishna. That's all. Let's understand Krishna as the provider. He's the enjoyer. So if you understand, my contribution to you. Sometimes our ego will be there for better than half a year. Ego is more than happiness and distress. So in the material life, we all experience happiness and Lādhanāj, very nicely explains in the seventh canto. He said, oh my dear friend, you are not going to experience a drop of more happiness than what is destined for you. So a devotee, when he experiences so-called happiness, he doesn't get enamored by it. He knows that today I'm unhappy. Tomorrow I will. I get all the greed and strength. And he doesn't recognize himself as the cause of that happiness. He recognizes the Lord as the cause of that happiness. And distress, when distress comes, and the only thing I should have got something other than more serious. But the Lord is so kind, He has denied it. That's what people think. Why does this happen to me? I'm a devotee, I'm an initiated. Why does this happen to me? It's not what people say. This child was born blind or handicapped. Why does this happen? So we have a history of karma, as we read in the second chapter. In reality, the individual is eternal. And based on karma, we all experience happiness and distress. So if distress comes, rather than lament and be morose, the holy thing, I should have done something other than more serious. The Lord is so kind to see that. Thereby, seeing it from a spiritual angle, Shasa-chakshu. Shasa-chakshu means seeing it through the eyes of the scriptures. If we see things through the eyes of the scriptures, then you can escape distress. Just like many times we have to speak in an occasion if somebody has passed away. So when some family member passes away, everyone laments, everyone is mourned. So when a sadhu goes there and says, explains the philosophy, you often see everyone else goes away. They understand, oh, the soul is eternal. So that is the value of preaching. Once a senior Vaishnava told me, a sadhu doesn't go to marriages where their people are in the enjoying mood. He goes to funerals, where people are morose, and people go to listen. In the seventh canto, you read about Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu's brother was killed by the law, and his wife and children was the main thing. Hiranyakashipu went over there, started speaking of philosophy. You're not his body. Soul is eternal. And he gave an example of a king who died in a battlefield, and his wives was so disturbed that they would not let the body go for funeral. They were crying very loudly, so loudly that their voice reached Yamaraj. And Yamaraj thought, let me give his wives some preaching. So he came down, this guy and the young boy. And the young boy eventually gained access everywhere. The Yamaraj came to the location where the wives were holding on to the body the dead had been crying. Vrindavan said, look at these ladies, they're crying and telling their boy, not realizing death is approaching them. And Vrindavan gave a story of how he and she were in a boat along with their children in the forest. A cunning hunter came by, threw some food to attract the birds, and when the birds came to eat, he trapped the she-bird mother in his net. The he-bird saw his beloved wife in the hunter's net, and he started to rinse. Oh, what am I going to do? I'm going to have to stand in front of you about to die. And lamenting, he also put him in front of the night. The Yamaraj gave the story to show. We lament, 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 but not realizing that our own end is coming apart. And then, Janakaji, whose sister-in-law was consoled, so we see things through the eyes of the Shastra. When we see things through the eyes of the Shastra, which is known as Shastra Sakshu, then you can never go wrong. And again, we see the scriptures, the devotional information, and every question you want to possibly have. Every question gets answered in the Bhagavad Gita. Just like we say a prayer, Om Jnanti Vrindasya Jnananti Nashtakya. So we are born in ignorance, but by the mercy of the Supreme Person, we get the light. So Krishna is saying, be equal in body, be equal in happiness and distress. So when you have distress, just see from the eyes of the scriptures, and when you get happiness, don't be overwhelmed. Understand that the happiness is also temporary. And any time you turn into grief, because the danger to reset. Then Krishna says, who is tolerant? The tolerance comes up again and again and again in our scripture. Isn't it? This is not the only verse that talks about tolerance. There's so many verses that talk about tolerance. The most famous of these verses is Nanda Vishnu. So Lord Chaitanya knew, and Vyasa knew, that there were going to be disturbances at every moment. We had to tolerate them, rather than become a victim of this environment, we have to tolerate them. How do you get the strength to be tolerant? You get the strength to be tolerant by the practice of devotional service. And you chant the holy names and follow the process, you get the strength to become tolerant. Tolerance cannot be obtained just by anything. I am going to be tolerant. But if your activity is not accompanied by with sadhana, then you won't be able to achieve free of tolerance. So, we should become tolerant. And more humble than the blade of grass. Offer respects. Take guidance. Take direction. Be willing, be open-minded. Not close-minded, and be tolerant. Always satisfied, especially in a funeral. In the fourth ghetto, Narada Muni gives you a 3-point formula to please the Lord. Just 3 points. What did he say? The ayas are of potential. Be merciful on all living entities. Santasya yena kena va. be satisfied in all to do. The material life is only never satisfied. Is anyone ever satisfied? What does everyone want? More, more, more. Am I right? What do you see in the world? The rich are getting richer, isn't it? 90% of the wealth, 80% is held by a small percentage of the world. Everyone wants more, more, more. Now the money is above them, say, a hungry man can be satisfied when they give him food to eat. A thirsty man can be satisfied when they give him water to drink. An angry man can be satisfied when he's had the opportunity to do shout at you. And then you're angry at someone. You just shout for 2 minutes. And the person ends up retaliating. When anger is gone, I'm right. But if he retaliates, then it becomes a trick for that. If he doesn't retaliate, then anger is gone. But if reading my mouth when he says, can never be satisfied. So be satisfied. And instead to be satisfied again comes from devotional activity. Often devotees know, often devotees want to know, how do I develop these qualities? Just like the Bhagavad Gita, which is described in the 13th chapter, the qualities, same or same person. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained 26 qualities of the devotee. So, devotees often want to know, how can I develop these qualities? Just like these two verses are also mentioning some qualities that we should develop. So the answer is, we can only develop the performance of emotional activity. Always satisfied. Don't even grumble. Material life means everyone is grumbling. I have this, I don't have this, I have this, these enemies are me, and so on. We'll be satisfied. Self-control. So anyone pursuing spiritual life must learn the importance of controlling the mind and the senses. In spiritual life, we have to gain mastery. It's not that only a sannyasi or a brahmachari has to control his senses, and the other ashrams are free. No. Anyone who wants spiritual life must understand the importance of self-control. And this self-control can be attained by being engaged positively. If you're engaging our senses properly, then you can gain control. If you don't engage the senses properly, you won't be. And further Krishna says, engage in devotional service with what?
Determination.
Engage in devotional service with determination. Determination comes up again and again. Srila Goswami gave us this very wonderful book called Vaishnavite. It only has 11 verses. But every verse is so important. It is key to a spiritual understanding. Srila Goswami, this verse gives us guideline. How you can develop spiritually. What did he say? We determine. Prabhupada gives the example of the Bhagavad Gita of the sparrow with the egg was stolen by the ocean. And the sparrow thing. The sparrow told the ocean, please return my eggs. And the ocean said, get lost, And it's kind of, you never have an egg, I'm going to dry you up. And it's most of this point is dry. On this panel, I always want to be able. And when it eats look at it. And that this panel was so determined, she ended up this impossible task of dying of the ocean. And then the woman reached home through the who came to her. The Prabhupada uses an example to show you want to succeed spiritually, you need determination. And for determination, we have many examples. And one of the examples I give is that of the sparrow. Maybe in Krishna. In the Bhagavad Gita says, those who worship me with devotion, I preserve what they have and
carry what they have.
Carry what they
have. Make up what they have. So we are determined to succeed spiritually, okay? But we have so many weaknesses. We're sincerely trying. They want to go to the people say, I will make up what you lack. And you make them with determination and sincerity. We've seen in our movement, individuals who were to join, they had no hopes they would ever reach 60 kilometers, etc. But they were determined, and they made a sincere effort, and God doesn't care. So we need determination. And you need the mind intelligence, fix it on the Lord. The mind and intelligence are key instruments in our spiritual effort. So Krishna is giving us guidance. It's not that this is the only verse where Krishna talks about self-control, mind, temptation. Prabhupada and the Bhagavad Gita say, invitation is necessary to drive the point home. Just like on the issue of association with devotees, which we hear worshiping in every lecture. We go from the fourth canon to the 12th, you find so many stories. King Prithu is saying that, Kapila Deva is saying that. You see this, these points repeated again and again. And Prabhupada is saying the invitation is necessary to drive the point home. So it's not that this is the only word that Krishna is talking about these points. These points come up again and again. They come up in all the lectures. We need to hear them regularly. That's why we were saying last night, attentive hearing is most important for spiritual advancement. Through the hearing and reading process, you gain knowledge. And with that knowledge, you can make spiritual advancement. So, to some of us, or to all of us, these qualities may appear very distant. It may appear, oh, I'm not going to make it. But if you sincerely try, your best friend, who is your best friend? Huh? Who is our best friend?
Krishna.
Krishna is anything to help us. Papa said, you take one step towards Krishna, Krishna will take and step towards you. So we should sincerely endeavor, and if we're sincere in our efforts, so, by hearing, constantly, we get inspiration, we follow. The hearing, spiritual association, is most important. I'll stop at this point if you have some questions. It's 9 o'clock. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
We don't want to go too late then. Any questions or comments?
we have some suffering in life, how do we keep this meditation in mind, as you were saying, that this is not, this is a fraction of what we really should
do.
Yeah, and Krishna is somehow helping.
How do we
keep that in mind? How do we not forget that?
We forget everything. We forget many general servants of the Lord. You forget that the oil is the primary purity. Our nature is to forget what is good and remember what is bad. Is that true? That's our nature. We forget what is good and remember what is good.
Therefore, we need to
know. Therefore, we need to hear and read on a regular basis. This line, with regards to the Bhagavatam, it said, Nasa Prasya Vadeshu, Yishya Bhagavat Sintra. So, what is the next one? Okay. I give up with you. Regularly hearing. Nowhere in the scripture does it say, we're hearing once. Some creature this preaching and attracting more people rather than following him and be envious. Let's acknowledge this preacher as being empowered. Prabhupada then spread Krishna consciousness to the rest of the world. But some people would say, what does Swamiji do? He made his peace into the body. You were not interested in preaching with the priest. So peace is good. And some said, Swamiji has discredited our sampradaya. He made lectures to Brahmanas. Whereas those Muslims here said, Krishna Shakti Vinayata Prabhupada. And then one is empowered by Krishna. He can't preach. So if you have knowledge that somebody has an ability due to the will of the Lord, is Kripa's karma, then you will not be envious. And envy ultimately destroys the individual. If I am envious of you, I'm always thinking, this God, how did he get to that place? I'm always thinking, how many myself? You end up with higher blood pressure. You feel me? So the boy is in me, you could wear your blood pressure goes. So we have to see everything in the right perspective, that is known as self-perception. Okay? Any more questions?
Thank you very much.